Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
He's done a heck of a job just controlling his emotions, as we've talked about already. In those situations, and it seems like he really just comes to life, and he meets that moment head on. It's almost like he wants that to happen each and every week, because that's when he's at his best, and he's not surprised by it. I mean, this is who he's always been. It's those big moments like that that he really lives for, and I think he's doing a great job with it.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
That was Ben Johnson talking about his quarterback, Caleb Williams. They're roughly a month and a half into the regular season of working with each other. And one of the observations that Ben Johnson has continued to address is Caleb in critical moments, Caleb late in games. And it's come up pretty frequently here as of late, and Caleb has thrived. I'm Anthony Herron, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, hour number two that I am here with you. And before Chicago takes on New Orleans, tune in Sunday from 9 to noon for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, we'll have instant reaction on the postgame show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. And Caleb, in these late game moments, one thing that's really intrigued me about it is the fact that we saw it a number of times last season. Now, the fact that pretty frequently in Caleb's rookie year, when some of the late game magic would happen or some of these moments of heroics would occur, they still usually ended in a loss. And so I understand where it was really kind of difficult to evaluate. I myself found it a bit difficult to evaluate what that really meant for sort of the metal, the grit of Caleb Williams, because how it frequently played out is the Bears would be down multiple scores in the second half of a game, and then you would see Caleb lock in that much more than he was earlier in the game. And as that happened, he was able to lead the Bears back over and over again, and it became a theme to the second half of the season that we would see Caleb have these sort of, you know, magical moments in fourth quarters, and the Bears would be on the cusp of a victory, and then next thing you know, they'd find a way to lose it anyway. But now, as we kind of continue to contextualize this and think back to some of the moments from Caleb Williams in college at USC, and even some moments that he had during his high school career, there does seem to be this resume of Caleb doing big things in the fourth quarter, doing big things late in games. Now, last season, was it, you know, these situations of desperation and watching him play his best football late in some of last season's games? The way I was curious about it was whether or not that was just because all was lost, the pressure was off, and then we would see this version of Caleb that flourished as expectations were at their lowest. But now that we do have some of this, these additional data points from this season, we see him doing very similar things with a composure. It's not always some sort of heroic thing or putting the Superman cape on per se, but we see a composure and a precision that now pretty frequently we can say is even beyond where he was in the earlier stages of the game. That's been really fun to watch. Going to be really fun to have the conversation that we will be having right now. One of my good friends, she works at WGN. You can find her on social media at K Rose Sharkey. She's Caitlin Sharkey with me on The Score. What's happening, Sharkey?
Good to talk to you. Good to talk ball with you. It's been a minute.
Yes, it certainly has. It has definitely been a minute. And I was talking towards the end of the previous hour here, just playing some of the sound back from Caleb, and even played a little bit of Ben Johnson from yesterday as well, talking specifically about Troy Aikman, and you know they were both asked about it here early in the week. And I got to say, my radar is up a little bit, and part of this is just where I want things to continue to go well, if I'm being honest. And part of my radar being up is because they've won three games in a row, and I kind of just want them to kind of stay locked in on the wins. And it feels like now we're getting into, are we going to have tit for tat with the broadcasters when we should be getting ready for New Orleans? What was the tone of it that you sensed today being there at Halas?
I mean, it's funny you say that, Anthony, because I was sitting in that press conference today. And obviously, it's a storyline if you want it to be a storyline. And I think, you know, between Ben and Caleb's responses to the questions surrounding it, it kind of became a storyline. But the whole time I'm sitting there and going, it's a short week. You just came off Monday Night Football. You got in at 4 a.m. Now you have the Saints coming to town on Sunday. You know, you're coming into these close games. They're coming down to the final play. Do we really want to, like, dive into going to beef with Troy Aikman? I don't think it's the time or necessarily the place they should be at. So I'm with you where my radar went up a little bit. I think it's fine that Ben uses it as motivation, and if Caleb uses it for motivation, sure, right? Like, anytime someone slights you, you can use that as motivation, a chip on your shoulder. But to get to this point, I'm kind of like, okay, maybe we should pump the brakes and just focus on football. Because, I mean, and the play that he was talking, you know, the whole DeAndre Swift, oh, he was lucky, things like that. I don't necessarily think it comes from a place of, like, you know, it always goes back to the Joe and Troy doesn't like my team mantra kind of thing. I think for me, it's like, okay, Caleb told us after the game that on that 55-yard touchdown run that he called the wrong play, that he messed up. He's like, oh, I messed up. It's amazing that play happened. So then it's like, okay, well, not that Troy knew that in the moment, but it's little things like that maybe Troy saw something and, you know, made a comment. It's just, to me, I'm with you, Anthony. It's like, use this momentum. Sure, use it as motivation. File it away in your brain, but, like, focus on a short week and the Saints coming to town.
Right. It's what, you know, don't want this, because we've had such infrequent moments of this in recent years for the Bears where it looks like things are starting to roll. And so I think, you know, a lot of us are just like, okay, let's stay locked in on just continuing to get better. And for me, Sharkey, one of the things that I find most exciting right now is that it does seem very apparent that they're winning games and now have beaten a quality opponent here and are doing so while there's still room for improvement. And I think there's a lot of encouragement that can be taken from that between Caleb or Ben or others in recent days here since the Commanders' victory. Do you get the sense that the Bears themselves believe that there's still a lot of improvement they can make?
Yeah, I believe so, because nothing has been, you know, they're playing complementary football, but not like fundamentally sound for all four quarters yet. And I think that's a huge, you know, Caleb was asked today, like, the last two wins have come down to field goals, right? And if both kicks don't go your way, if one isn't blocked and if one isn't made, we're talking about two very different records, right? And I think for them in this moment, it's like, okay, it's great that they're finding out how to win these close games, because that's something you have to be able to do in the NFL. Like, it happens week to week. But there's still so much that has to be developed from a defensive standpoint and with the run game. I think we saw flashes of it finally going, and I know, Anthony, we used to speak about this all the time, about the need for a consistent run game. And I think not that it was like out of this world, but it was finally like, okay, it was a tool they could use, because up to that point it was like non-existent. So there's still a long way to go. I'm just glad they're in these games and in a position that Caleb can go out there and lead a defining drive, and that, you know, sometimes the ball does go away. You know, they made a great special teams play a couple weeks ago. Jake Moody makes the kick. If he doesn't, you know, are we talking about a different situation? So I think there's still talk amongst House Hall, like, hey, we're winning these games, but there's still a long way to go.
Caitlin Sharkey of WGN, my guest here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And you can find her on social media at K Rose Sharkey. She is my guest on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. And the way that game played out, one of the things that was really cool to watch was that we finally saw a consistent ground attack, to your point, from DeAndre Swift. And, you know, Ben Johnson has sort of been saying, like, it's not all on the running back. And DeAndre Swift has kind of pointed to the fact that he doesn't feel like he's necessarily done anything different here. One thing that was different was Theo Benedict being in the lineup on the offensive line. But what's the sense that you've gotten from where that sudden improvement came from with the run game on Monday night?
Well, I think Ben Johnson, he touched on it today when he was asked that, and he said it was all about the fundamentals up front. So, you know, even a couple weeks ago, we would ask DeAndre Swift, like, okay, what's going on with the run game? Like, why can't, you know, they're still waiting for that pop, right? Those chunks of yardage. And he was saying, we're so close. It's in the little things. It's in the little details. And I think that's something that they evaluated over the bye week. And Ben Johnson specifically was like, okay, are we not finding the right gaps? Are guys in the right position? Are they using their fundamentals the way they should be? And I think making some changes, and I'm not saying the running game wasn't working because Braxton Jones was out there. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that maybe he's finding a combination of linemen that works with DeAndre. And I think Swift also is making some improvements, right? Like his running style, his vision being a little bit better, him understanding where he needs to be specifically has improved. And then we saw Kyle Manunga used a lot. We saw Roschon Johnson for the first time, and I don't remember the last time we saw Roschon Johnson out there. So I think it's just like the understanding of, okay, who, what kind of backs do we have? How do they fit my system? And I think that took some time for Ben Johnson to figure out too, but the interior of that offensive line is too good and too experienced, Anthony, to not be able to run the football, regardless of the backs that they have. So I think they're finally finding their stride, to use that bad pun.
All right. And defensively, you know, now amongst the best in football and taking the ball away, and this resurgence from Tyreek Stevenson in recent games has been, I would imagine, very gratifying for him. And just as an outsider watching it, love a good comeback story. And it feels like that's, you know, it was maybe kind of a full circle moment for the team. But, you know, he didn't necessarily make a splash play in the game. But Tyreek Stevenson being a part of a last second victory in D.C., I would imagine that was a nice moment for him. Have you gotten a chance to hear from him or see him or ask Tyreek himself about what that was like now getting that dub?
I haven't talked to Tyreek personally, but, you know, after the game in the locker room, you know, vibes were great, right? They just pulled out this emotional win, and he was kind of sitting there and he was talking to Jonathan Owens going like, I missed them. Like I could hear him say like, oh, I missed them out there. And I think it was good that we didn't talk about Tyreek Stevenson in this game in a way of like, right. Like there was no major mistakes. Like there were breakdowns, right? There were some plays at that defense and that secondary, especially with Kyler Gordon. I think it just was off a little bit, right? Luckily they won, so it didn't really matter. But for me, it was like, hopefully we're not talking about Tyreek Stevenson at the end of this game, unless he has an interception or something like that. So I think for him, it was like, get this game out of the way. Let me move on. Let's not talk about it anymore. We went out there. We won. We're on to the Saints. And I think that was the biggest part for Tyreek, because he talked about it at length. He reflects on the last year. For him, it was like, okay, go out there, play the four quarters, win, and don't do anything that will, you know, keep this narrative about him going.
Couldn't agree more. You know, it's not quite like an offensive lineman. You know, you'd like the DB to make right. a play that kind of gets their name mentioned, but when your name ain't getting mentioned, you're probably not getting beat either. So that was nice to see
exactly.
for Tyreek Stevenson. Sharkey, always appreciate chopping it up with you a little bit. Look forward to doing it again soon, my friend.
Of course. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
That is Caitlin Sharkey of WGN. You can find her on social media at KRoseSharkey. She's over there with that guy JP, Jarrett Payton. They co-host GN Sports TV on a nightly basis. Good time that they have over there at WGN. She joined me on the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Well, I had a moment that to me was my favorite moment from the game the other night. And unfortunately, I suppose some folks who didn't have pads on had a little something to do with it not counting for a dang thing, but I'm going to remember it for quite some time. And I'm wondering, what was your favorite moment from the game the other night? 312-644-6767. That Monday Night Football game. Now, I want Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson to move on from the Troy Aikman conversation. I understand if you all want to, you know, continue to keep the Troy Aikman thing rolling. I just want their focus to be laser and locked in on the Saints coming to town. But those of us who are going to be strapping it up come Sunday, we can still continue to relive and perhaps relitigate how things went on Monday night. I have my favorite moment picked out. I'd love for you to choose yours as well. 312-644-6767. The Bears' third victory in a row. What was a play? What was a moment? What was a sound? What was a visual that stuck out to you that you enjoyed most from that rain-soaked evening that the Bears came out with a last-second victory? They had a walk-off. I'm going to walk this off with you, and we'll discuss it next on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Score.
It's a 38-yard field goal try to win the game. Bears down by two. Moody takes two strides back and two strides to the side, waiting for the snap. Rain is falling, wind is blowing. The ball put down, the kick is up, knifing its way through the uprights, through the rain, and Chicago! Redemption in Washington! The Bears have won it! 25-24 on a 38-yard walk-off field goal by a kicker called off the practice squad today.
Score evenings, weeknights 6 till 9.
You know that voice. K Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One call. I heard him on the midday show the other day. And, I mean, some guys just got the pipes to make anything sound good. The passion that Kevin Harlan puts into – I love him on football, but there's so many iconic NBA calls that he's had as well. It's just fun. I don't know how you would power rank just the pipes, just the voice, just like a big game voice, studs. If there's just voices that when you hear it calling a game, you just know something big is happening. You know it's a big event. To me, Kevin Harlan is one of the guys that's right there at or at least near the top of that list. Gus Johnson, as bombastic as some of his calls are, but just the voice itself just sounds like a big sporting event is taking place. And I mean, you know, it was great play-by-play announcers who don't necessarily have the biggest pipes out there, but between Harlan and Gus Johnson, like those are the ones that immediately occur to me where it feels like a big sporting event is happening.
I think
when
it's,
you hear their voice.
I think especially with Harlan when it comes to the NCAA tournament, that's what I've kind of started connecting his voice with the most. Other than like there's Monday Night Football and Westwood One, I connect him directly with, and then the NCAA tournament because there's so many big moments in that tournament that he gets to, you know, so his voice is attached to so many of them. So yeah, Harlan's right up there. I like Gus Johnson too. I appreciate that you have a lot of appreciation for Gus Johnson. I'm a big Gus Johnson guy. I know some people can't stand him because he is really over the top. I get it. But he's a perfect college football announcer. Like, I think he just perfectly captures college football for some reason to me.
He doesn't take himself too seriously. And that's where he can lean into some of those moments just when something's going on. He throws some nicknames in there. And, you know, there's just kind of swag and aura, you know, just dripping from the calls in a lot of those moments. And, yes, it's a very subjective thing. Neither one of these guys is necessarily meant for everyone. But just from a pure voice perspective, it sounds like a big deal when they're on the call.
Right. Yeah. You hear Gus Johnson and you're like, yes, it's 11:30 in the morning on a Saturday and I'm watching Ohio State play whoever. You know, it feels right.
Right. You're watching the Ohio State. You know, that's just, yes, it oozes.
Big noon kickoff. Yeah, it's great. Perfect.
Right. We'll get into a little bit of Big Ten conversation in the final hour here tonight as well. But I had a favorite moment from the game the other night, and the final result of it was unfortunate because it went for naught. But just to have the Bears and having some back and forth, and we've been beaten into submission perhaps to a certain extent in recent years with the way that some of these games have played out, the way some of these moments have played out. And so, yeah, I think a lot of us just kind of wait for and perhaps even assume that the game is going to go awry. And we're starting to see, and the fact that these recent games have ended in victory reinforces the grit, the determination, the fortitude of this squad. But even if some of these games would have ended in defeat, just to watch the way that this team has fought back, the response that they've had to some of these moments has been really impressive, but it's easier to appreciate because now the Bears have won three games in a row. But there was one moment in particular that to me stuck out as like a nice response moment as the Commanders had fought their way back into the game and, you know, where the Bears seemed to be in control early and then they lost control of the game and had a few self-inflicted wounds. There was one moment here that will go down as a self-inflicted wound from a penalty perspective, I don't necessarily agree with.
Bears just 1 for 5 on third down in this game, 3rd and 6. Here's one for Odunze. Flag on the play and a spinning catch. But it's coming back. Here's the call.
In the formation, offense number 79 is not on the line of scrimmage. 5-yard penalty. Third down.
They get Theo Benedet for not being up on the line of scrimmage at the beginning of that play. Well, here's Benedet. He's right here at left tackle. Are they getting him, Russell, as far as his helmet?
Yeah, they're saying he's too far back. It doesn't look like he's very far back. His helmet just has to break the line of the center's butt.
it looks like he's there. That's not a strong foul.
Yeah, I thought maybe they were calling the wide receiver because he wasn't off, but I agree.
Yeah, bogus call. And what's unfortunate about that call going against the Bears is there's been this relationship that's been intact with Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze since before the Bears even drafted them together. And with that being the case, their rookie season, and I've talked about this, and my guy Loho Lawrence Holm, he was kind of all over this even early in the rookie year of each of these players, that having Caleb as the number one overall pick would provide cover for Rome Odunze and whatever went down his rookie season. I think back to Kevin White as a top 10 pick and just being injury plagued throughout his career. And even when he was healthy, he never really developed into much here in Chicago or elsewhere. But because he was the top 10 pick that season, all the focus, all the harsh glare of expectation was on Kevin White to represent that draft class, and he never panned out. Rome has had the cover of Caleb in what I found to be a fairly middling rookie season. But as Rome has now begun to emerge in year two, it's one thing to have some production be associated with it and a quality offensive system and good quarterback play can allow some numbers to begin to progress for a receiver. But what that moment represented to me, it's a moment that will not likely be remembered by many people because the touchdown came off the board, but that represented to me to be just the latest example of how on a critical down and distance, Caleb said, I trust that guy to go make a play. And on 3rd and 6 in the red zone, as the Commanders, who the Bears initially had a 13-0 lead, and the Commanders had fought this to be in a 13-10 game in mucky, that's with an M, mucky conditions. And on 3rd down in the red zone, Caleb goes to Rome on an absolutely gorgeous pass, goes back shoulder to him, initially one-on-one, fits the ball over the outstretched hands of Odunze between multiple defenders in the end zone. And then this to me was maybe the second most impressive moment of Rome Odunze during the season, because there was the mailbox touchdown that he had a few weeks ago where he just ran like a grown man route, put the DB against the Cowboys, put the DB in the dirt with just a really physical release off the line of scrimmage, adjusts his route, throws the mailbox up. Caleb puts a dot on him for a touchdown. That was Rome saying, I'm just better than the dude across from me. I'm bigger, I'm more physical, and I'm going to impose my will on this individual trying to cover me. That touchdown that got nullified the other night was my favorite moment in the game, because then it showcased some finesse from Odunze and the body control, but just him making a play in a moment where it felt necessary. It felt like a response that the Bears were capable of. And as disappointing as it was that the touchdown came off the board and that drive just ends up in a field goal as opposed to a touchdown, but it was an outstanding throw and an even better catch, adjusting to that ball. And Caleb threw it exactly where he wanted to throw it, giving his playmaker an opportunity to do like a circus contortionist sort of move and adjust to the ball and go out and grab it with his fingertips in the rain and make that play. And it should have been a touchdown because it was a reprehensible call from the officials, because Theo Benedict wasn't too far off the ball. Everybody could see that. Apparently he had gotten warned before or whatever else. But that throw and catch, that was a thing of beauty. And it was awesome to see them connecting like that. So it's too bad that it came off the board, but it stood out to me as my favorite moment in the game, because Caleb Williams to Rome Odunze, we've seen a lot of throws and catches happen between the two of them during the season so far, but that was a throw and catch of consequence in the 3rd quarter of a game the Commanders were surging back into on 3rd down. Caleb threw a great pass, trusted his playmaker, and his playmaker rose up. In the season plus of Rome Odunze in the NFL, there's been, I would say, a number of almost, like near misses where Caleb has trusted him to go up and snag the ball between multiple defenders, to go up and moss people, And Rome is the guy he trusts most to do that. And Rome hasn't always kind of come up with those grabs. And that, to me, stood out. We're seeing that growing. Not the overall production has been impressive, no doubt. But some of the moments of Rome just being better than the guy covering him. Not Rome being schemed open. Not Rome running like a nice finesse route. But just Rome doing something that maybe a lot of other guys on the field can't do. That was that. That throw and catch was that. And so to me, Stuzz, that was my favorite moment from the game the other night. And it's unfortunate nobody else is going to, a few weeks from now, won't remember it because it actually didn't end up counting for a touchdown. We'll remember the Benedict penalty, but the throw and the catch were absolutely magnificent from Caleb and Rome. Did you have a favorite moment, Stuzz, from the game the other night that stuck out to you?
Other than the end of the game, the winning moment, obviously that was pretty great. I did pick out one here. That wasn't that the very end of the game, and I really like the one that you picked out there because I agree with you that Rome should have been touchdown was a really great moment that should have gotten them back to a 2-score lead and back in control. What was that, late in the third quarter, early fourth quarter, wherever
like
it was,
mid third quarter.
Yeah. So it didn't end up happening. But the play I picked out is for similar reasoning. And I'll play it for you here, and I'll explain why.
45-yard line of the Bears, third down, 4, shotgun snap, 5-man rush, line drive pass, near side caught, Swift at the 50, near sideline, 45, 40, broke a tackle, 30, chase to the 20, he's at the 10, the 5, touchdown, Chicago! 55-yard catch and run by DeAndre Swift, down the sideline, veering to the middle of the field, out racing the Commanders in pursuit. 2-point game, 55-yard touchdown, catch and run. And the Bears will go for 2 to tie.
Okay, so there you go. That was obviously the big Swift touchdown, and shout out again to Westwood One and Kevin Harlan for the call there. And I really liked that moment because that's right after the Commanders had taken an 8-point lead. And I don't know about you, but I actually was kind of surprised the Commanders didn't go for 2 after that touchdown to try and make it a 2-score game. But, that can kind of go either way. Personally, I would have gone for 2. But anyway, so still a 1-possession game. And you can see on that drive, there's no panic by the Bears. Say, okay, we got the ball, still a 1-possession game, and we're going to go right down the field. And even if Swift doesn't make that play into a touchdown, it was going to be a first down and the chains were going to keep moving. And I think they probably would have ended up scoring eventually anyway. So I really like that because it was a great response moment. It was a moment that we've seen a lot of Bears teams in recent memory, including last year, just shatter. Yeah. Even in week 1, where you saw the Vikings take the lead after the Bears had been in control, that they just kind of fell apart after that, the Bears did. This is a moment where it's like, hey, there's no panic, right down the field, and they didn't take the lead or tie the game there, but they got themselves right back into a moment where it's like, hey, they can get a stop and go win the game, and it's exactly what happened.
Yeah, they got the stop, they won the game, and you know the stop was fumbled to them, but you still got to be opportunistic, and it's one of those moments that perhaps in recent seasons during the Eberflus era, maybe they wouldn't have been as opportunistic. Perhaps somebody bounces the ball off their belly and the Commanders recover it instead. But when Jaden Daniels, one of the best young quarterbacks in the sport, opened the door for the Bears, there was Nashawn Wright ready to shut the door, or at least help shut the door on the Commanders. So it was cool to see the Bears take advantage of that. What a moment that was. And again, storyline after the game, because the Bears won, is Caleb Williams, 0 turnovers. Jaden Daniels, 2 turnovers. And that ended up being one of the huge deciding factors in the outcome. We got Ray on the line in Orland Park wanting to talk about this conversation we're happening with the Bears, some of our favorite moments from the game the other night. What's happening, Ray?
Hey, good to talk to you again, Anthony. You're a soundbite in my house, so they know when I'm calling you. So anyway, my favorite moment, you know, the producer kind of said it was just that they won the game. There's so few and far between to do that. But I've been working on a nickname for Montez Sweat. Let me see if you like it, and maybe you can help me not use this nickname because he finally did something. He finally forced a fumble. That was my favorite moment. But I've been calling him Montez Dry because he just didn't work up a sweat in the game, just kind of standing there doing nothing. You're painting the guy, the top 5 talent in the D-line. You know, your guest said, you know, the the offensive line and experience, defensive line experience. They're expensive. That's what they are. They should be doing their job and getting to the quarterback and blocking everything. What am I missing on the line? Why am I so like relieved Montez Sweat did something and he's not a multiplier? We were promised a multiplier. That hasn't happened yet. What am I missing? What is going on? Am I right? Should he go with Montez Dry? What do you think?
I appreciate the call, Ray. And I hear the frustration that's tinged with a lot of excitement for the direction the Bears are headed right now. I think that's all fair and accurate. And that kind of goes to the point that Caitlin Sharkey and I were discussing when she was with me earlier in the hour here, because there is still a lot of room for improvement with this Bears squad. And if you can be 3-2 and have a 3-game win streak going, and you know, in a lot of ways you can look at it and say, okay, the opponents have been sort of improving to a certain extent. Like the Dallas game was a big response to the embarrassment from the previous week against the Detroit Lions. Raiders, of course, struggling as a team right now, and you win that one in the last second in a game that had some unevenness, some inconsistencies to that performance, an offensive line that really struggled mightily against Las Vegas somehow. You know, nobody could block Max Crosby the entire night. And then you have this performance against the Commanders, and one of the good things about the Washington game was that it was the best that both lines of scrimmage have played together so far this season. And coming out of the bye, do we end up looking back at this and evaluating it as both lines of scrimmage played their best because they were well rested, because both Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen figured out the best way to go about deploying their personnel? And to Ray and Orland Park's point, Montez Sweat, impactful in the game. And I think it's fair to recognize just sort of what Montez Sweat has been pretty consistently throughout his career. Montez Sweat is not a consistent double-digit sack guy. He's done it once in his career, and it was the combination of his time with the Commanders and the Bears when he first arrived here in Chicago. He hasn't been T.J. Watt. He hasn't been Micah Parsons. He hasn't been Trey Hendricks. That's not, from a numbers perspective, who he's been. So a multiplier, that's not necessarily what he's shown, and he's being paid like that kind of guy. But he's a good football player. He's an above-average defensive end. Yes, he made some plays the other night, played really hard, as he always does. So is he Montez Dry? I wouldn't call him Montez Dry, but he's not necessarily a guy who has the production that sort of matches what that pay scale is. But it doesn't mean the Bears can't be a high-level defense. And I really like the way that Dennis Allen began sort of scheming them into some additional pressure on the quarterback, and hopefully the health continues and we get a defense that can really impact the game. And you keep taking the rock away, then you're going to give your offense that additional advantage that the Bears have been able to. And they're amongst the best in football in points off takeaways because they keep taking the ball away. Love seeing that. Love seeing the success the Cubs had for the majority of the baseball season and some of that unevenness and the up and down nature of that. Cubs president Jed Hoyer was asked about that earlier. We'll get to some of the sound from Jed as he addressed the media in his season review that he had today. We'll do that next. Talking some Cubs. Get back to some baseball here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come on.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
Trying to think, this is Dua Lipa, right?
Oh my God, I can't believe you got that. Yes.
Okay, all right. Took me a second.
Illusion.
There we go.
Love this song. The first time I heard that, I'm not super big on, like, I don't listen to a ton of, you know, pop. Or okay. Whatever, you know, the top 40 stations, I should say. But when I do, right. You know, sometimes something will catch my ear. And the first time I heard this song, and I like Dua Lipa, but again, it's not, I don't like listen to a ton of her music. Mm-hmm. But a few of her songs have just really caught my ear. And that was one of them. I think that's a great song. Illusion is an incredible song. I put it on my workout playlist. I liked it so much.
For some reason, and Dua Lipa's not, you know, big in the in circulation in our house either. But for some reason, my wife, there was like a night with Dua Lipa or something like that. It was like a TV special with her and an orchestra. And
that's cool.
It's just on our DVR for some reason. Like, my wife doesn't listen to a lot of Dua Lipa. I don't really listen to a lot of Dua Lipa, but I like, since it was on the DVR, I was just curious, like, why did she record this? And I hit play on it one night. I was like, you know what? Because I didn't know if Dua Lipa even had a decent voice or not. I just know she's got kind of poppy music. And I was listening. It was just Dua Lipa and an orchestra and a stage, and it was actually good. I was kind of caught off guard. Like, if you told me it was just Adele and an open mic, like, okay, yeah, that's her vibe.
Oh, of course.
I didn't really know that was Dua Lipa's vibe, but she actually put on a nice performance with nothing but like a string quartet behind her or something like that.
I'll just check that
really
down.
Well,
okay.
Done.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good. I think it was just called A Night with Dua Lipa. It was some kind of TV special or something, but my wife caught me off guard having that on the DVR, but it was like a nice little TV special with her just showing off that she can actually sing. So I didn't know that was kind of her thing. I didn't know she had that in her bag, but apparently she does. What's in the Cubs bag is hopefully some money that they're preparing to spend this offseason. And Jed Hoyer addressed the media in his season in review, a press conference that he holds after every Cubs season comes to an end. It's nice that the Cubs season ended a couple of rounds into the baseball playoffs, but as will be the case for everyone, but apparently the Dodgers, according to Bruce Levine, everyone's going to come up short aside from that team that ends up hoisting the trophy at the end with the World Series championship. But as Jed was addressing the media, he was peppered with a wide variety of questions. And one of them, as we're talking about bags and money, it related to one of the questions he was asked about any regrets that he might have from the transactions this past season.
I think if you do this job and do it well, I think you're constantly thinking about what else you could do, and that's natural. But I do feel like when I think back on the most obvious thing that people talk about when we were starting pitching at the trade deadline, and honestly, like, I haven't really thought about that much since early August because I know what the market was. I know how tight the starting pitching market was. I know to acquire players that could impact a pennant race, it would have cost us players that impacted our second half in a big way on the team. And so certainly there's moves going back years that you think about in terms of how you can continue to get better. And I think that, you know, my job is to just keep getting better at this job every single year. So, of course, I think about that. But when it comes to the trade deadline, I don't, just because I know what the market was and I know what the prices were. And I also know that other teams weren't able to acquire that kind of pitching talent either.
Well, Jed sounds very confident that he knows the market and read it correctly. And didn't spend quite as much as some of us might have thought. But one thing that became really topical, and still, let's skip ahead to the final bite that I wanted to play for the folks here about hitting at Wrigley. And it's something that for a couple of years now has been percolating more and more about the difficulties that offensive has had. But Jed doesn't necessarily think that's much of a thing.
The ballpark thing to me, I don't really understand that. The focus on the ballpark. I think I've been here for 14 years. It's been a mix of seasons, honestly. In 2023, it was one of the best hitting ballparks in baseball. The last 2 years, it happens to have blown in. I don't think anything has changed dramatically that will lead us now to having this happen over and over. So I think we're dealing with randomness, number one. Number two is a lot of players put up great numbers. Michael Bush hit 38 homers if you include the postseason, and Pete went 30-30, and Saya went 30-100, and I just think you can put up really good numbers here. The idea that somehow Wrigley Field is a hitter's nightmare, I just find that to be, for 2 years in a row, the wind blew in a little bit. But the idea that free agents aren't going to play here or hitters aren't going to come here, I can't imagine a better place to play. So that's something I just kind of reject outright, and I think that it's like I said, I think there's some randomness we're dealing with here. That said, and I've always said this, like, I think the fact that Wrigley can play so differently, it just means you have to have really good players. There's not a type of player that you can build. Like, you don't want to go out and get a bunch of fly ball hitters because you have a year where the wind blows out. You don't want to go out and overemphasize, guys hit the ball on the ground and, don't have any power because it blows in. I just think we need, we have to be a little bit of a Swiss Army knife of an offense because we don't know what our environment is night to night. And that's every year. I mean, like, there'll be years where it blows in more and years where it blows out more. But the fact of the matter is we don't know day to day what it's going to be like. So I think we have to embrace it. We have to have players that can beat you in a lot of different ways. And I think we have that right now.
That's certainly proven to be the case for the Cubs. And by comparison to the core that went on to win a World Series and win several division titles where there were some bigger boppers, bigger swingers, we saw the power numbers for the Cubs this season work out to be really impressive by the end of the year. But what really ended up having them advance in the postseason was their defense, the timeliness of their hitting, and really the professionalism of their plate appearances. It wasn't all the big swinging and power numbers and OPS that we saw pay dividends during the regular season, and certainly what led them to a World Series before. So it'll be an interesting needle to thread for Jed and how he goes about that, especially with the potential for a looming lockout and the reporting that perhaps the Cubs brass isn't going to want a lot of money on the books that goes beyond 2026. So we'll see how that part plays out. But it's good to hear from Jed and get him on the record. And everybody there, as usual, did a really fantastic job of that. College football is a fantastic sport, in my opinion. And we'll get into some conversation, not only about the Big Ten, but a couple of storylines that will have some ripple effects beyond the Big Ten as well. Some college football coming up, and we're a few minutes away from Bobby Hebert joining us, one of the analysts who covers the New Orleans Saints and one of the great quarterbacks of the previous generation. It's going to be a fun conversation we'll have with him. Final hour on Score Evenings, next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.